Let's pray. Father, we love you. Just ask you to move through me this morning. And Lord, just show us your heart. And move through me to help convey that, Lord, not just in word, but in spirit. Let the anointing of God flow as we speak. Let us speak today as an oracle of God. And we give you praise and give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I just want to start out. You know, a lot of times we disqualify ourselves. How many here are striving to walk with the Lord as pure and as upright as you can? Well, how many here don't, you know, you have to raise your hand on this one, but we don't always live up to even what we desire. Isn't that true? And so, you know, I was praying recently and the Lord said, don't disqualify yourself. And then he gave me this scripture in Luke 12, verse 32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. God is wanting to give us the kingdom, and kingdom being the rule and reign and the authority and the rulership over every circumstance and situation as a son of God. So, but a lot of times we disqualify ourselves. Well, I didn't act right yesterday. I spoke harshly to so-and-so, and I wasn't in the word enough, and I didn't pray enough. And we talk ourselves out of receiving what God wants us to have. So I want to open up today just, making it plain. Whatever's in here, God wants us to have that. It's his delight to give us that. It's not like, you know, he's holding back stingily, and if we meet up to the bar, you know, then he'll grudgingly let us have a crumb. It's not like that. He is yearning to lavish us with his goodness. And see, what is it that qualifies us? It's not our behavior. It's the blood. The blood qualifies us. So if the blood qualifies us, only the blood could disqualify us. You know, it's not you and me. Now, you know, granted, you can send your way into a mess, but most of us aren't in that condition. You know, most of us, it's a mind game. The enemy wants to play with us to keep us out. So I just want to open up with that thought, that understanding. And so if he wants to give us the kingdom, then I just want to lay a little scriptural foundation here this morning before I say what I really want to say. But his desire to give us the kingdom. Now, what is the purpose of God as revealed in scripture? I mean, we can say, well, this is the purpose of God. And all that is true. But there is a scriptural validation or a scriptural revelation of what his purpose is. I mean, when we see God create Adam, God doesn't reveal his cards. He just did it. He created the heavens and the earth. He created Adam. He created Eve. He created mankind, and he deals with mankind. He intervenes and has fellowship with mankind, but he still never really says what he's up to. Then we go through Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, and all God is marvelous and miraculous, but we still really don't know his motive. And we never know what he's really up to until Moses. And in the 14th chapter of Numbers, God had it up to here with that murmuring bunch. And he said, Moses, get out of the way. I'm going to smite the whole bunch of them. And then I'll raise up through you a seed that's going to fulfill my will. And Moses, we know the story. He interceded. He said, no, Lord, you can't do that. If you do that, it's going to make you look bad. If you do that, they're going to say you could bring them out, but you couldn't bring them in. And so, you know, he reasoned and interceded and stepped in between God and those people, and God listened to him, and God said, okay, Moses, I am going to pardon them according to your word. In verse 20 of Numbers 14, and the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word and Moses' word, thy word, Moses, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. That's the first time God revealed what he was really up to. It was God's will from the beginning that all the earth be filled with his glory through a people. That's why he told Adam in the garden, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. What does replenish mean? It means fill. Fill the earth with the seed of God. That was God's intention from the beginning. And his intention has not changed. It's still the same. Can you say amen? Amen. So let's go to Isaiah 60. Very familiar passage to most of us. Arise and shine, for thy light is come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee. Now, I think we're seeing that gross darkness right now. Not only in this nation, but across the board. The nations of the earth. It's getting darker and darker and darkness. Gross darkness is coming on the people. But that's not us. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together. They come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee, and the forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now let's go back to Isaiah 40. And this is the scripture that kept me last year. Beginning at verse 3. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory, here's the verse, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. I read that verse last year, and the Holy Spirit highlighted that verse, and I was having kind of an encounter with the Lord as I was reading that verse, and the Lord spoke to me and said, this is the vision. The vision is for the glory of the Lord to be revealed. That's the vision. It's not about church programs. It's not about building a big ministry. It's not about all these trappings that we just readily accept, that we just embrace. It's about his glory being revealed. That is the vision. That's the vision of the Lord, because that's the purpose of the Lord, that all the earth will be filled with his glory. Now, let's flip over to Colossians chapter 3. I just kind of wing it. That's my MO. Colossians 3, verse 4. Listen. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, or shall be made manifest, then shall ye also appear or be made manifest with him in glory. You see, his glory is going to be revealed, but as his glory is revealed, we are revealed as well. Not that, oh, that's their son. No, it's we're being revealed as being those who are connected with him. That's the difference about being a Christian. We are connected. We are connected to our source. We are connected to our Creator. We're not any better than anybody else, because outside of the grace and mercy of the Lord, we would not be connected. But we have been connected. We didn't choose him. He chose us and ordained us that we should go and bring forth fruit, and that our fruit should what? Remain. Now let's look at Revelation. What in the world is this guy doing? He's all over the place today. It's all Bible. And as Sergeant York said, I'm making a point. Revelation 7, verse 9. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man can number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hand, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. A number that no man can number, in white, before the throne. That is the multitudes from every nation, every kindred, every tongue, every tribe that will be saved. And you know what? They are waiting for you. And they're waiting for me. I want to challenge you this morning not to be satisfied with a normal life. Not to be satisfied with just working a job and paying bills. Not even to just be satisfied with raising your family. But to ask God, where do you fit in response and responsibility to this bunch in Revelation 7 and 9? What's your part? Now, I'm not condemning anybody today. No condemnation here. But it is a challenge. You know, so many people get radically saved and get really come in through the fire. But they get normalized somewhere along the lines. And it just becomes about going to church a few times a week, going to work, paying your bills, going to softball games and just kind of sort of plateauing. But Peter said to make your calling and election sure. Nobody else can do that for you. I know, I can't even count the numbers of people I know that have a call on their life to do great things for God, but have just never pursued the call. And it's untapped resources. It's unused potential. And now that I'm getting older, I'm seeing, hey, you know what? Sometimes they just never get around to it. They never get around to it. Now, I feel a sense of urgency in my life. I turned 65 last April. I mean, I'm not, you know, I'm not on a walker and anything like that, but, you know, it's obvious that I'm getting on the, maybe not in the twilight years, but the sun's going down. So if I'm ever going to do what is in my heart, I've got to do it now. I'm not doing it out of fear. I'm not worried, but it's just common sense. You know, and it's been scary because we haven't shut the church down, but I'm really praying about what to do because it's fading and fading and fading as far as, you know, a priority in our lives. And we've kept meetings going just because I didn't want to just abandon people. And there wasn't anything else, anything like us for miles and miles around. So pray with us that God will have his way with that small group of people that love God. But I cannot spend the rest of my life, and I don't mean to be ugly here, but I can't spend the rest of my life babysitting a small group of people when the nations are crying out for somebody to come reveal the glory of the Lord. I have to do it. So many things in my life, directions we've taken, I can look and I can say at this place, on this date and this time, the Lord appeared unto me saying, you know, I can't do that with this. This was a decision based on the data that I had. You know, God gave us these things. They're to be in subjection to the Holy Ghost. They're not to run the show, but sometimes we have to make decisions. And as much as I didn't want to shut things down in Gretna, there's no way I could do what I was doing in Gretna and really do what God had put in my heart years ago at the same time. It's like one or the other. Now, you know, somebody may have the capability to make all those plates spin. Hallelujah. We went to Rodney Howard Brown's. I mean, gosh, you know, I mean, I'm pinching myself. Am I even in ministry? I mean, you know, he's got this church going. He's got two Bible schools going. But you know what he's doing? He's got people running the church. And he has made a commitment to hit 300 cities between last year and the end of 2020. Doing one night upper room meetings all over the world. He just got back from the UK. He was in 10 different cities in 10 different days. And saw numbers saved, saw numbers commit to win the lost. To go for the harvest. And I just know in my heart, it's, you know, I didn't even realize they had a thing yesterday called the Send. Did you hear that? Yeah, I think, what was it, 90,000? Reinhard Bonnke, Todd White, a bunch of other ministries like that. And Rodney was there. Rodney prayed for the fire to touch. It was 90,000 people that showed up from all over the world that said, "We want to go to the harvest." Well, I was too busy planning on going to the harvest to go to the meeting to declare I was going to the harvest. But Rodney was there, and he released the glory on the whole stadium full of people to send them into the harvest field. God is doing something. The harvest is ripe. The harvest is ripe. Now, I know somebody say, "Well, that's one of those evangelistic guys. You know, he's always saying that." But let me tell you, it's not just an evangelism thing. It's something God is doing in the earth. There's a scripture in Revelation where, you know, it says it is time to harvest the earth. And I believe it's time to harvest the earth. You know, if God, look in Acts 26. Paul is testifying to King Agrippa about what happened to him on the road to Damascus. And it says in verse 12, "Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, 'Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks.' And I said, 'Who art thou, Lord?' And he said, 'I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose.'" Yeah. Now, God has appeared to you for a purpose. Yes, he loves you. Yes, he's crazy about you. Yes, he wants an intimate relationship with you. But there is also a purpose. For this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of those things which thou hast seen and of the things in the which I will appear unto thee. So, not just a witness, but also a minister. In other words, that which he saw and that which he received, he can now dispense. God appeared unto you to make you a minister and a witness of those things which he has shown you and those things that he's going to show you. Not only to tell what happened, but also to be in a place to dispense the same experience you received.
Come on now. Yes.
If you have received salvation, then you can not only say what happened to you, but you have the authority and the anointing to dispense to others what has happened to you. If you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you not only can tell people about it, but you can dispense that which you have received. If you receive deliverance and healing, you can not only tell people what happened, but you can dispense that which you have received. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. Listen, this is the reason. To open their eyes. Everything is happening in our nation right now. It's happening because people are blind.
Yes, that's right.
People are blind and people are dead.
Yes.
They need to have their eyes open and they need to be resurrected.
Yes.
And if you've had your eyes open, if you've been resurrected, you can not only tell them what happened to you, but you can dispense and share the same experience. to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are satisfied by faith that is in me. And he says, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. Landon Spradlin is trying with all his might to be obedient to the heavenly vision. When we were recording No More Blue Mondays in England, I had the greatest encounter I've ever had with God. The glory of the Lord rolled in our room. Now, when I say the glory of the Lord, we felt it, but it was to such a level that we could see it. My roommate was the engineer for the project. And he had just gotten saved 6 months prior in the move of God that was happening in Toronto. And he was asking me all these questions about the move of the Spirit and the anointing. And I mean, he was pulling on me so hard. There was stuff coming out of me. I was going, man, I'd like to sit under this for a while. I should be taking notes. But it was just one of those kind of situations. And where somebody's hunger was pulling, deep was calling unto deep, and it was pulling it out of the recesses of my spirit, stuff I didn't even know I knew. But one of the statements I made, I said, sometimes the anointing will manifest in a visible mist. And, you know, I was my bed was right here. There was a window with a street light, and his bed was over here. When I said that, he shot up, and he went, look. And I turned around and looked in the corner, and there was a mist that was coming into the room. And it filled the room up, and it got brighter and brighter and brighter. You could read a Bible in the light of that glory. And that glory was on us for 5.5 hours. During one part of the visitation, the Lord spoke to me, and he said the same thing 3 times. He said, what I'm going to do with you in music has never been done before. He told me that 3 times. And after the 3rd time, I proceeded to have vision after vision for a couple hours. I had over 30 visions. And what I saw in the visions, I saw the Holy Ghost had put bands together by the Spirit. And I saw every kind of concert venue you could imagine. Stadiums, soccer stadiums, concert halls, amphitheaters, even a couple of almost like a valley in between 2 mountains or something, you know. And I saw these concerts happening. And what would happen, somewhere in the concert, there would be a shift. And the band was no longer playing, but God was playing the band as a puppeteer to a marionette. Whew, I get torn up every time I tell this. And it wasn't the words. It was the notes. God was speaking to people on a level higher than language. And as it hit that point, the glory that we were seeing in our room began to emanate from the concert. It was like the concert was ground zero. And it expanded and expanded and expanded and expanded until it covered entire regions and remained. It didn't come and then, you know, just the wind. No, remained. Then I had several visions in that whole series. After that glory was there, I was floating through cobblestone streets. And I was, lights were coming on. And I was floating, and that fog, that mist was everywhere. And it was at night, but it was like the mist, you know, street lights, the mist. It was the glory. And then a light would come on, and somebody, "Jesus, have mercy on me." You know, another one, "Save my soul." Another one, "Oh, God." You know, the lights were coming on, one after the other, and entire regions were swept into the kingdom of God. Not because of a church, not because of a man, but by the sovereign visitation of the glory of the Lord that was released in the concert. And then I saw after that, there were pastors that had been waiting in the wings, that had been, God had prepared them, and they knew something was coming. And when that happened, hundreds of little churches began to spring up like popcorn with these pastors that understood what was going on to maintain the harvest. Now, that ain't normal American church. That ain't three hymns and a 20-minute Reader's Digest Encyclopedia Britannica. And I can't make it happen. But I'm venturing out into the water. Because if it's going to happen, I believe it. You know, he told me he was going to do it. And if that's not the kind of thing I can get up and say, I think I'll do that today. Yeah. But I'm posturing myself to be available. We went to Rodney Howard Brown's camp meeting. We went to Texas and we went to Louisiana. And then we went to stop by Tampa on the way back to catch his camp meeting the last weekend. I hadn't been in Rodney's meetings in years. And the Lord had been telling me a month before, so you need to reconnect with Rodney Howard Brown. And so we went. I think Gene was parking the car. I don't know what I was looking for in the foyer. And Rodney had a book signing going on. And I was just walking through there looking for Gene. All of a sudden I hear this booming voice, "Landon." I turned around and there he is. "Come here." He goes, and he hugged me. "So good to see you." He said, "Did you bring your ox?" "Yeah, I did." Yeah. "Well, I'm going to turn you loose tonight." He had me play Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday morning. It was like we were war heroes returning from battle. And there was just such an embracing. And I'm, if y'all don't know me, I have never been one to follow any man. That's just not in my DNA. I could have been on staff at Rodney's church years ago, but God wasn't telling me that. So I just opted out. But there was a reconnection. And the thing about those visions I had, I knew in my spirit when I was having them that it was Europe. And now Rodney is going to these 300 cities, and he's going to, in March, the last of March through the 11th of April, he's going to be going to cities all over Europe. And I'm just believing God to make a way somehow to join him on some of those, because I see that way I don't have to go in and plow by myself. I can go in and that can be my introduction into France. That could be my introduction into Greece. That could be my introduction into the Ukraine. You see? So, I'll end up with this, because we can all use this one this morning. John chapter 7. Starting at verse 37. "And the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." There's a river of healing. There's a river of deliverance. There's a river of divine revelation. There's a river of joy. There's a river of abundant provision. And the way we receive those rivers is by coming unto him and drinking. Come unto him and drink, and believe, as you're doing that, that you're receiving that. Yeah. You know, one thing I got, one of the many things I got at the camp meeting at Rodney's, and it seems like, you know, kindergarten Christianity, but it just, where I'm at, it touched me. He said, you know, a lot of times God will call somebody to do something, and they will put their eyes on the provision to do it and never do it. He said, but if you'll focus your eyes and look at the harvest and begin to take steps, the provision will come. And I just know that God's wanting to remove limitations. That doesn't mean he's necessarily going to give you $10 million in a bank account, but he's going to remove the limitations here. Where when God speaks, you can just go and take steps forward. I mean, I hear Graham Cook talk about Arthur Burt. You know, that guy just did what God said. He'd show up at the airport. "You have a ticket?" "No. God told me to go." "God will provide a ticket." That'll make your flesh burn.
Right. That's right.
And you know what? Why did he do that? Because he was walking in his mind and in his consciousness. He was walking as a son of God.
That's right.
And guess what? The Lord always provided.
Right.
He didn't have his eye on, you know, the provision. He had his eye on what the Lord said. Well, is that because Arthur Blessed is some special privileged child in the kingdom? No. He just believed God. The same thing is available to every one of us in whatever realm God is calling you into. I know everybody's not going to quit their job and move to Africa. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying there's something he wants you to do. And it's harvest time, so now would be a good time to start moving in that direction. I don't want some whippersnapper that just, you know, gets bold. I don't want him to step in and grab what I'm supposed to do. You know what? But if I keep sitting around on my blessed assurance and don't do it, you know what? That'll happen. I don't want anybody to get my inheritance.
Come on now.
If I keep just being normal. Man, I never see God open the Red Sea for me. Well, what kind of positions do you allow yourself to get put in?
Right.
See, so many people spend all their time trying to keep out of a position where God has to come through or utter destruction. This is working, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I just really feel the Lord saying, Stop trying to keep out of those situations and allow yourself to get in those situations. Not getting into them being foolish and being an idiot, but getting into them believing God. Getting into them and rolling the dice and betting it all on Jesus and stepping out of the impossible. It's not comfortable. But you know what? After a while, you get used to it. Now, one of my greatest faults, which is also one of my greatest assets, I'm not a great planner. I mean, I'd rather take me around back and beat me than to make me sit in a meeting and plan a bunch of stuff out. There's a time. I'm not saying we don't use wisdom. I understand. However, my MO is to hear God and let's just show up. See what happens. Maybe God will show up. Maybe God will actually do what he said he would do. Most people get in a situation and go, well, I guess the only thing left to do now is believe God. It's come to that. Hello? Normal. Let's keep it normal. I don't want it normal. I want the glory of the Lord to be revealed and all flesh seeing it together. That ain't normal. And if I'm going to see that, I can't be normal. Everybody said, don't worry, you're not. Anyway.
Like I said, there's a time and a place for planning. But honestly, time is short. We don't have time to plan. We don't have time to plan. We don't have time. Like, we're believing God for three houses. One in Gretna as a base. One in New Orleans as a base, one in Fort Worth, Texas as a base. And we'll be traveling in between those three cities, and we need those places to house things that we're doing. But you know what? There is no time to believe God that we'll be approved for a loan. There is no time for God. There is no time for me to see that we can manage one household and pay all the electricity and pay all the heat and pay to take care of it. There is no time. We have to believe God for all of it, because there are people dying. How much time do you have? Do you know how many days you have left? Do you know how many minutes you have left to win the lost? We don't know how much time we have left. But if we plan things and wait to plan or wait till our plans come to pass, we will plan ourselves right out of doing God's will. So take that leap. When Jesus cried out in that temple, he didn't just, you know, hey guys, he was screaming so that it would redline the speaker, the monitors. The word that is used there means to shriek, to cry out. The word is krazo, where we get crazy. It was that. It was shrieking, screaming, listen to my words. If you believe, you'll have this water. His time was short. He knew it. But we don't know when our life is going to end. We don't know. We have to take, as much as I hate to say this, we can't afford the time to plan everything.
You know, we have to make some plans. But the thing is, we can't go about this the natural way. You know, when Moses saw the Red Sea open, he was just in a little bit of a fix. Now, how did he get there? By obeying God. And if you'll really follow God, you will find yourself in some situations that you can you that are way bigger than your ability to fix them.
Amen.
So I'm just saying, you know, don't be a fraidy cat. Don't be a scaredy cat. Rise up and be bold.
Amen.
And take some chances in God. Now, I know as a pastor, pastors go, ooh, wait a minute, and they got to deal with the fallout. But let me tell you, there's a miraculous fallout that can only come as we do that.
Amen.
It won't come any other way. You don't ease into a miracle. You get thrust into them.
That's right.
Amen. So thrust in the sickle and let God do some great things for you and some great things through you.
Amen.
Amen.